Let's read together the first 9 verses of Obadiah. In the first half of this one chapter book, we hear the nation of Edom denounced for her pride. Obadiah, beginning at verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, Arise, and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, Who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasure shall be sought after. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Let's begin our brief study of the prophecy of Obadiah with some background notes. Obadiah is sometimes called the minor prophet for obvious reasons, right? Obadiah is the shortest book of the minor prophets. In fact, it is the shortest book in the Old Testament. It's not the shortest book in the Bible, however. There are 2 books in the New Testament which are smaller than Obadiah. You know what they are? Yes, that's one of them, 3 John. What's the other one? 2 John, you got it. 2 and 3 John are the shortest books in the whole Bible. We don't know much about the prophet Obadiah other than what's written in these 21 verses of his small book. Obadiah means servant of the Lord. Obadiah apparently lived in the southern kingdom of Judah and prophesied judgment against the nation of Edom. The Edomites, you remember, were the descendants of Esau, the twin brother of Jacob. So the nation of Israel and the nation of Edom were related in that way. And it's especially for this reason that God held the nation of Edom responsible for their treatment of Israel. As a brother nation to the nation of Israel, Edom had actually fought against Israel. And Edom did not come to Israel's aid when other enemies attacked. This was wrong, and God held Edom responsible. And Edom had become a proud nation. They had settled in the mountainous region called Seir, south of the Dead Sea in what is now southern Jordan. Their capital was the well-fortified mountain citadel which later became the ancient city of Petra. You can visit the ghost city of Petra today. It's a popular tourist attraction, especially since it was made well known by the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. The magnificent ruins of this once proud city are entered through a narrow canyon which cuts between towering walls of sheer rock. But the city has long since been deserted. The nation and people of Edom have all disappeared in fulfillment of God's prophetic word through the prophet Obadiah. And a lot more we could give for background, but let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points. Doctrine or teaching point number 1, God hates the sin of pride. God hates the sin of pride. We read in Proverbs 8, verse 13, The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. God hates the sin of pride. Pride was the sin that led to Satan's fall. listen to God's pronouncement of judgment on Satan found in Ezekiel 28, verses 14 and 15. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. And verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. God hates the sin of pride. The nation of Edom had become a very proud people, and in their mountain dwelling places, they thought that no one could bring them down, including God. Verse 3, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Notice that the sin of pride is deceptive. Verse 3, the pride of your heart has deceived you. The sin of pride is very deceptive. Let me give you an illustration. You know, we just finished giving out the grades for the first semester at Emmaus Bible College. Now, suppose one student asks another, what grade did you get in Dr. Dave's Old Testament survey course? Now, if that student got an A, he or she will most likely say, I got an A. But if that student got a D, then he or she will most likely say, Dr. Dave gave me a D. Did you note the subtle difference? Rarely is it the other way around. Why? Pride. Pride is very deceptive. And whether it be in the area of intellect, or looks, or athletic ability, or wealth, or whatever, pride is very deceptive. The Bible says so. And God hates the sin of pride. It glorifies self rather than God. Pride keeps a person or a nation from coming to God. In fact, it tries to get rid of God. Why is God banned from the secular classroom today? Why does the Big Bang theory of the origin of the universe, and why does the theory of evolution of the origin of life reign supreme? Because man, in his pride, refuses to acknowledge God. He refuses to humble himself before his Creator. God hates the sin of pride. Doctrinal point number 2. God judges the sin of pride. God judges the sin of pride. Because of her pride, the nation of Edom would be judged. Verse 2. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. Verse 4. Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. In verses 5 and 6, we see that Edom's destruction would be complete. If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out. How his hidden treasures shall be sought after. When thieves come to rob at night, they don't take everything, only the valuables. And when vineyard keepers gather grapes, they don't harvest every single last grape. But that's not the way it would be when Edom would be destroyed. Nothing would be left. All her hidden treasures would be found and robbed. Edom would be completely cut down in her pride. Not only her wealth, but her wisdom as well would be plundered. Verses 8 and 9. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Teman, by the way, was another prominent city of Edom. Question. Has this prophecy of judgment against Edom come true? Yes, it has. Edom is no more. As we see from verse 1, God used other nations to destroy Edom. It was the Nabataeans, in particular, that conquered Edom. Now, who were the Nabataeans? The Nabataeans were Arabian tribesmen that deceived the Edomites into being allies with them and then forced the Edomites out of their mountainous strongholds. And this was between the 6th and the 4th centuries B.C. Look at verse 7. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. So the proud Edomites, who were deceived by their pride, were now deceived by the Nabataeans. By the way, it was the Nabataeans that carved the well-photographed temple and other rock buildings at Petra. These buildings are carved right into the red sandstone cliffs. Most of the Edomites were forced out to the west and became the Edomians and dwelt in the south of Israel. Herod the Great was an Edomian. During the intertestamental period, the Maccabees subdued the Edomians and forced many of them to be circumcised and follow Judaism. Under the Romans, the Edomians were further conquered, and thus the Edomites fade from history in fulfillment of God's prophecy through Obadiah. God judges the sin of pride. What a teaching for us in this prophecy. God not only hates the sin of pride, he must judge the sin of pride. Let me ask you, are you here this morning with a proud heart? Is the sin of pride harbored in your heart right now? You cannot hide this sin from God. This teaching is not only for unbelievers, it's for believers as well. God judges the sin of pride. What about practical application? Remember what happened to Humpty Dumpty. Remember what happened to Humpty Dumpty. What happened to Humpty Dumpty? He had a great fall. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That nursery rhyme probably had political implications when it was written, but we can certainly apply it to the results of the sin of pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." This is a principle that God has built into his moral universe. It holds in all areas of life. It happens in politics. Pride goes before a fall. It happens in ministry. Pride goes before a fall. As you know, there can be pride of face. There can be pride of race. There can be pride of grace. Let me ask you once again, are you hiding the sin of pride in your heart this morning? Sure, you're wearing the mask of humility, but you're really looking down and despising certain people around you because you're a proud person. Watch out. Remember what happened to Humpty Dumpty. 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." How much better to be exalted than to be cut down? Let the nursery rhyme remind you of this truth. Remember what happened to Humpty Dumpty.